Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
We want to talk about GP shortages across the country and how long are you actually waiting to try and get to see a GP or a doctor in many parts? Because it seems there's fairly acute shortages in the commuter belts and rural areas in particular, according to the Irish College of General Practitioners. Dr. Dermot Quillen, who's the medical director of the ICGP, is with me here on the programme today. Dermot, why is the problem particularly acute in the commuter and rural areas?
Good afternoon, Andrea. The problem, really, the challenge stems from our phenomenal growth in our population. You know, back at around the turn of the century, 25 years ago, we had just over 4 million people in Ireland. And now we're close to 5.8 million. So it's a huge increase in our population. And that really underpins the current GP shortage. In addition to that, like, we are in the very fortunate position. We now have among the longest life expectancy in Ireland, in the EU. So people in Ireland have among the longest life expectancy across the EU. So that's fabulous for older people. It does create challenges in healthcare and particularly in general practice, where we provide about 80 to 85% of all the healthcare consultations. So they're the two big drivers. And then we know as people get older, they accumulate diseases. On average, people aged 65 and over have three or four chronic diseases like heart disease, lung disease, osteoporosis, chronic kidney disease, dementia, frailty. And they all require a lot of input from general practitioners. And then these older people are on a lot of medicines. On average, 20% of people in that age group over 65 are on 10 or more medicines, and 5% of them are on 15 or more medicines. We also know that the COVID-19, the pandemic, hasn't gone away. COVID-19 is still there, so we're still seeing people with acute COVID. We're still looking after people with long COVID. And then we do tens of thousands of COVID vaccines every year. And then the final part is that we have an aging GP workforce. So we've about just under 5,000 GPs in total, before 4,900. But among that, 300 of them are aged 65 to 69, and another 300 are over the age of 70. So we have about 600 GPs whose retirement is imminent in the next probably 2, 3, 4 years.
And I presume we don't have the numbers to fill those posts, Dermot.
Well, the good news is we're working really closely and have been for many years now with the HSE and the Department of Health. So over a decade ago, we were training 155 GPs per year. And for the last few years, that's up to 350 GP trainees a year. And the first cohort of this rapidly increased intake will be graduating next year and the year after. So we will see a substantial uplift in our GP workforce. And we already see that, like, at the end of 2024, we had 4,600 GPs in the country. At the end of 2025, we had 4,900. Now, our target is over 6,000. So we're still a way off that. But, you know, we are certainly heading in the right direction. We do know there are challenges for patients accessing GPs. And that's common across the Western world. In many European countries, the GP workforce is the same or declining. Glad to say that in Ireland, our GP workforce is increasing, and that, you know, GPs and GP nurses, we see in excess of 30 million consultations a year. So that's over 500,000 people every week see a GP or a GP nurse. That's 100,000 patients get a consultation with a GP or GP nurse every day.
How many patients typically, Dermot, will say any one GP have on their books? Like, what's the normal amount that you might be able to see?
So The target for the HSE and internationally is that we would have a ratio of about one GP per 1,000 population. So, so that's for every 100,000 population, that we would have 100 GPs. Unfortunately, many of our counties are well below that. You know, places like Monaghan and Roscommon, and then the Dublin commuter belt, Kilkenny, Meath, Kildare, and then Wexford and County Clare, are all less than 70 GPs per 100,000. Where the counties with cities in them, like Cork, Dublin, Waterford, Limerick, Galway, they're close to that 100 per 100,000. But even within those counties, so if you take Galway, for example, yes, Galway City has a reasonable supply of GPs. But once you get out into the very rural areas, and certainly once you get out into the Atlantic seaboard, the challenge there is enormous for patients and rural communities.
I'm going to come to some of the listeners in a moment, Jeremy, that are waiting to hear how long they're waiting. It's 1800 453 106 is the number. Is it just not seen as an attractive post for young graduates? Is that why there's not more?
The number of doctors applying for general practice has increased enormously in recent years. So despite the fact that we have increased our number of training posts from 155 to now 350, in the current year, we've had over 2,000 doctors applying for those. So general practice is it's an enormously attractive, it's highly competitive to get into it. It's a fantastic career. It's a very varied working life every day. Different weeds treat people, from antenatal care, newborn babies, children, teenagers, working age adults. And then as people age, we provide care for older people, and then ultimately we provide palliative care. So intellectually, it's very challenging. It's a great career, and I would encourage medical students and young doctors to specialise as a GP.
To try and actually go into the area. Stay with us, Dermot, for a moment, because if Jason is with us on the line today. Jason, I believe you recently moved GP, is that right?
Yeah, hi, Andrea. I'm a chronic patient. I was diagnosed with a chronic disease in my early 20s. So I've been paying health insurance since I was in my early 20s, and now in my mid-50s. I've seen about 5 different GPs in that time as well. One mostly from moving town, but in the town I'm in at the moment, I've seen 4 different GPs over the years, basically because I wasn't getting the service that I required. I'm a warfarin patient, meaning that I need to get blood tests frequently, and those blood tests enable me, basically detail me going in and taking a blood sample. That sample has to leave the GP's office, and then I get the result later in the afternoon. And it's only effective for that because warfarin has the sort of a lifespan of basically it's only effective over a 24-hour period or so. So you're constantly getting yourself checked. I moved around GPs because I wasn't being seen, and it was some of the times I was waiting was 3 weeks. I'm supposed to get a warfarin test sort of bi-weekly. Also because of my chronic disease, there's other things they need to check. So blood tests are really essential for my well-being and health. So up to 3 weeks I've been waiting, and then sometimes I wouldn't get the test. So I'd go in for a test, get my blood sample, and I wouldn't get a call for 2 weeks. And I'd be saying, well, what good is it to me now, 2 weeks later? I needed it that day. And you're still expected to pay. I mean, I don't qualify for a medical card. I don't qualify for a GP visit card. I was asked when I put myself in the name of GPs locally in the town to see which one I'd get in quicker. And I'd ring them up frequently to say, listen, I'm not getting on great here. Have you any places? And they said, no, we don't. I'm sorry, you're still on a waiting list. And I was like, well, how can that be improved? Oh, if you have a GP visit card, or if you're coming in from abroad, et cetera, you're seen more frequently. And I'm like, well, that's not fair, surely. So I changed. I eventually changed. There was a new GP office often opened up in our town last year, and I got in early, just as they were opening their books, if you like. And now I'm seen within sort of 3 to 4 days, and I get my blood tests regularly within the evening time. So if I test in the morning, I get the results in the evening. So I mean, it can vary really, and that's really my point. Is that I think it's not the fault of the GPs. I think it's been poorly managed by the HSE. And the government, and frankly, having to have once had a GP doctor as our Taoiseach, and how it wasn't sorted out by him is beyond me. I mean, if he couldn't have sorted it out, I don't know why. How it's going to be sorted out.
Well, I suppose you hear Dermot talking about the numbers and
population.
Yeah, and the number of people, I suppose, going into the profession as well. Dr. Dermot Quillen, who is the medical director of the Irish College of GPs, is still with us here, Jason, on the line. The medical cards mentioned, among other things, Dermot, by Jason, that's surely part of the problem here, is it?
Firstly, sorry to hear about that case, Jason. And I suppose looking back, we're looking in pandemic times, and it's only in the last 12 or 18 months that the GP workforce has expanded. So we're now gone from 4,600 in 2024 to 4,900. But we need to be well north of 6,000. So there's a very significant shortfall in our GP numbers. We would also like the GP nurses to do a phenomenal role in general practice. And, all the baby vaccines, a lot of the flu and COVID vaccines, all the cervical smears, they do a huge amount of work. We have about 2,400 GP nurses in Ireland, and the College of GPs would like that to double. So you can see there's a very significant workforce deficit in general practice. And that, despite that, we still manage to see 100,000 patients every working day in Ireland. But, the need for GP care continues to grow as our population expands and as our population ages. And it does take, our GP training program, we've a really super GP training program. It takes 4 years. So while we have increased the numbers, and we're now at 350, you know, it will take another 2 years before we see the really big uplift in numbers graduating.
I think I mentioned the medical card, but sorry, it's the underage, it's the GP visit card. Like, all of these additional things on you guys obviously drives more patients to you on a more frequent basis.
Again, to speak about the medical card expansion, so we are supportive of the expanding the medical cards to children. We did anticipate, and as we knew it would, that the increase in GP workload when children got a medical card, their attendance at the GP increased by 30%. But that brought them in line with the European average. So it wasn't that they're over consulting. Actually, the having to pay, and Jason mentioned that, is a financial barrier, and we've seen that when that barrier was removed, people with medical cards, they consult more often, but that brings them up to the European norm. So we are certainly very supportive of the expansion in medical cards, but we are conscious that it's constrained by the GP workforce and the GP nurse workforce. So we need fundamentally to expand our GP workforce.
Dee is with us, 1800 453 106, that's the number. What's your experience trying to get a GP appointment, Dee?
Hi, Andrea. I'm in Kerry. And it's hard. So our kind of system is where I am anyway. You ring in the morning to get at 9 o'clock, and you stay on until you could be caller number 8, 10, and then you kind of wait and wait and wait, and then you're caller, and then the appointments are gone. So it's very soul destroying and really hard to get. Now you can maybe see another GP, but you want to see your own GP. This is the thing.
That's the point in kind of having even whatever about maybe attending somebody in the one practice, but you know, there's the one person you've been maybe seeing for your entire lifetime. You kind of have a relationship with them, Dee.
Totally, yeah, absolutely. And I mean, they know your history, so you don't. Otherwise, it's kind of somebody. So, but to see, and then like to get into, I know somebody, one of the family that moved here, trying to get into a GP, impossible. They're just all full. So in our area, it's difficult and it's challenging to get seen on the same day is not going to happen. It just isn't.
No, how long typically might you wait in terms of days?
You know what has happened. I know with a good few people I speak to, like you just kind of don't even. It's the phoning up is so stressful, and the whole thing. You just say, "Oh, listen, I let it go for a couple of weeks," and then you try again. So, like, health-wise, it's not great either, because people are just not. It's just really difficult to get onto somebody. So you're kind of putting it off and saying, "Yeah, you know, I'll hold on another couple of days and I'll try again." But like this whole thing of like you're caller 5 and then or caller 8 and then appointments all gone.
And that's the big problem. It appears from what Dermot Quinlan is saying today that, you know, the likes of the big cities, your Dublin and your Galway, are kind of the magnet, I suppose, you know, for a lot of GPs in terms of attracting them to those areas. It's Monaghan and other more regional counties that seem to be lagging in terms of the number of available GPs. One final text, Dermot, that might just read to you very briefly from a listener who says, "I don't want to say my name in case my family hear this, but I have two cousins who were trained free as GPs in the Irish College of Surgeons. And when I say free, I mean at the expense of the Irish taxpayer. As soon as they qualified, they went off to Australia, where they're now laughing at the Irish system, who paid for them to serve the Australian community. I and most of my family are livid about this. We feel something should be done about it. And the same applies for teachers and nurses." I don't know if that's a debate you want to get involved in, Dermot.
Yeah, so to address that, firstly, just to mention Dee and the challenge she faces, which is very common to people living in rural and remote areas, that there is, and that's one of the issues the Irish College of GPs has identified, that rural and remote communities, like often, we know that GPs in rural and remote areas are often more often single-handed and older GPs. And sometimes when they retire, it creates a really great challenge for those patients and the neighbouring practices. And again, we are working with the HSE to address that challenge. In terms of GPs emigrating, so we have really good data. Like the HSE National Doctor Training Programme produced a report at the end of 2025, and they looked at the GPs who were trained over an 8-year period between 2016 and the end of 2023. So 1,100 GPs trained, and 85% of them are still working in Ireland, registered with the Irish Medical Council and working in Ireland. So, you know, 15% of our trainees over that 8-year period have emigrated. So that's, I would say that's a really good return on investment, and that money spent on training GPs in Ireland is money really well spent, because the vast majority of them stay. And absolutely, I'm a taxpayer in this country, the same as all the population. And we want to see professionals who are trained in this country living and working here. We do know that many young doctors emigrate, as I did, and work overseas for a couple of years.
Well, there's benefits to that too, in terms of the level of expertise that you can pick up while you're working within other healthcare systems. We'll leave it there for the moment. That's Jason Dee and Dr. Diarmaid Quillen there, who's the medical director of the Irish College of General Practitioners. Just one final text from a listener who says they rang to see their GP at the end of November, was told she had availability on the 12th of January. I had to go and see another doctor then. They had availability 2 weeks later, but they had absolutely no clue about me or my medical history, says this listener. If you want to share your own story with us, drop us an email. It's lunchtimelive@newstalk.com.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on Newstalk. Conversation that counts.